I think people should really not assume someone else's journey, but if we do, can we just pause for a moment, think happy thoughts, and just congratulate the goddamn woman? Hey there, Zesties! Welcome back to the Gleeful Talk Show, where we share zesty stories to cultivate the happiness and hero within and out. On the show, we talk about personal experiences and development, society and culture, so if these are the topics that you're interested in, then please stay tuned. Oh, Zesties, it's been a long while since the last episode, and I took a break because I got some great news to share, which is I won't hold you in suspense anymore. So basically, I'm expecting. So to celebrate this new chapter in my life, we are also celebrating a new season on the podcast. So yay, welcome to the new season. And this new season, season 7, will not be at all about pregnancy, but just mainly a marker of the new chapter and a different pacing on the podcast. So for those zesties who don't like pregnancy-related topics, fret not, because this isn't going to be. The podcast is still staying true to its purpose, which is to share zesty stories about society, culture, and personal experiences. So sit back and relax. So before we head to the meat of the episode, I wanted to share a quick life update and how I was doing the last few weeks. So basically, I was just resting a lot. And I didn't have that much energy in my first trimester. I was really just napping, like really sleeping a lot, which is good. I didn't have a lot of morning sickness. I just had some few. I just vomited once. And I had some nausea in terms of wanting to gag, but there's nothing there. But it's mainly because when I don't like the smell of something, apparently, I have very sensitive nose, and it's much more heightened during the pregnancy. So that's that. And also, interestingly, I was so obsessed with sour food. So vinegar on rice all the way. But yeah, I'm on my second trimester, which I felt a little bit more energy, but I still kept my weekend naps. And funny thing as well, during my first trimester, I was sleeping a lot and I was sleeping quite early as well, which is like 10 p.m. already on the bed, or even 9:30. Can you believe that? Me on the bed at 9:30? I mean, what in the world? That is indeed a miracle, right? So pregnancy is indeed a miracle. So yeah, then heading to second trimester, I've gone back to my usual sleeping patterns, which is like 11 or sometimes 12, but I do nap a lot as well during the weekends and even before I take my bedtime, like after work. And then it's either I sleep before dinner or a little bit after dinner, just for like 30 minutes. Then I'm good with that. And yeah, now second trimester is so far so good. So that's when I announced as well, not really announced, but made some of my friends and family aware of the situation. But yeah, so this episode, Zesties, we're going to talk about the common reactions you'll get when telling people you're pregnant. And this is mainly more of a society type of topic. And then later on, some of the Filipino superstitions on pregnancy and children. So I hope that you will continue to listen to the podcast. For sure, we will not talk about pregnancy a lot in the next few episodes. That's for sure, because I don't want to talk about it too much either. So yes, let's get into it. So yes, Zesties, this common reactions list is a non-exhaustive list. And some of the reactions on this list I actually received, and some of them I didn't. So first off, one of the common reactions that pregnant people receive is, aren't you a little too old for that? Well, studies show that more and more women are having lesser children, choosing not to have one or delaying pregnancy. So this is a lot of factors, economic factors, personal factors as well. So Let's get into the data for now. Some 86% of women ages 40 to 44 are mothers, compared with 80% in 2006, according to the Pew Research Center analysis of the U.S. Census Bureau. The median age at which women become mothers in the U.S. is 26, compared with 23 in 1994. And this change has been driven in part by the declines in birth to teens. And of course, because maybe of contraception, right? And then in the mid-1990s, about 1 in 5 women in their early 40s, which is 22%, had a child prior to age 20. In 2014, that share had dropped to 13%, and delays in childbearing have continued among women in their 20s, while slightly more than half, like 53% of women in their early 40s in 1994 had become mothers by age 24. This share was 39% among those who were in this age group in 2014. The Great Recession intensified this shift toward later motherhood, which has been driven in the longer term by increases in educational attainment and women's labor force participation, as well as delays in marriage. Given these social and cultural shifts, it seems likely that the postponement of childbearing will continue, but will the recent annual declines in fertility lead U.S. women to have smaller families in the future? It is difficult to know, but comparing the lifetime fertility of women who just recently completed their childbearing years with those 20 years earlier suggests that postponing births does not necessarily equate with lower lifetime fertility. And speaking of fertility, one of the common reactions that women receive when they're pregnant, especially later in life, or they call it gestational mother or something like that, people will say, oh, it's very hard to be pregnant when you're quite older. And I mean, like, can you just be happy for me? I know that it's much more difficult. You don't have to reiterate it to me, you know? So yeah, like, people can be a little bit insensitive, and I know that some of them don't really have ill intentions, but just how they say it, sometimes it's not really, like, it's not proper or just downright insensitive. Another reaction is, do you know the gender yet? What were your preferences? So many old wives' tales and conception strategies claim that you can select the gender of your child. Things such as timing before or after ovulation or using a particular position. Well, it might not be entirely true. However, I think this sprung on the idea that, which is a scientific idea, that female sperms or the X chromosomes are on average slightly larger and thus slower moving than the male or the Y chromosome sperm. And the girl chromosome sperm can still hang around 3 to 5 days later inside the woman's body than the male sperms. I don't know about you, Zesties, but this says a lot about the strength of women. Girl power, right? But then again, if you would use this theory to be able to predict the gender of the baby, evidence-based medical trials have not been able to prove that having intercourse 3 to 4 days before ovulation in order to have a girl baby actually works. And those that follow this method strictly may have trouble reproducing because of the lack of intercourse near ovulation. I will not delve into more like what is ovulation and etc., Zesties. I think you all know that. So don't think too much about this theory. Also, many couples try for a baby and are happy whichever gender they receive. That's not to say that gender disappointment isn't real, but often many couples simply want a healthy pregnancy and a healthy baby. So yes, that's really interesting on my research, Zesties, that the girl sperms are much more, you know, live longer in the womb. So, you know, it's very interesting to know. And then let's move on to another reaction, which is, I thought so, you're already showing. Or they would sometimes say, oh, you don't even look pregnant. So whichever it is. So when you're pregnant, you'll be surprised how people think it's okay to comment on your body. I think that most people have good intentions and don't really want to be hurtful, but I guess that their misconceptions show through their comments, right? I guess for me, I got lucky in a sense that in my first 3 months, I wasn't showing yet, and people didn't actually notice until I shared the news. And it's not that I have to announce in the office, but I needed to let, you know, my manager know in order to properly plan for the maternity leave and tasks. When people knew about it, some of them told me they didn't even notice and I still look slim, which is good for my part. But I wonder how other women would have told the opposite would feel, right? So you just really be careful with your comments there, Zesties. And speaking of no ill intention but hurtful comments, another set of comments you'll receive is, oh, finally. So like I say, oh, I'm pregnant. And then people will say, oh, finally. Oh, as if we were trying to have a baby for years. So, I mean, in our case, Zesties, we weren't really trying for years. We actually were quite lucky that it was quite quick for us. And it's not the same for others, right? But if you kind of give that comment, oh, finally, it's like, it's not really so good. You shouldn't say that to a pregnant woman, especially if you know that, I don't know, either way, I don't think you should say it to a woman who has been trying for years also to, like, say, oh, finally. You can just say congrats, right? Like, congratulations and stuff. But that immediate reaction of, oh, finally, I can't really describe. It's really, you know, for some women who are trying for years, it's kind of like hurtful as well. It seems that they are incapable for several years and finally you've made it. It's again like having that notion that having a baby is all there is to life, which is not. Even though I decided to have one, I still commend those who choose to not have one, because having a baby is such a big responsibility. And I don't think everyone can parent anyway, or everyone should be a parent. Some people are not up for it, and then that's okay. And the one that's not okay is that even though you're not up for it, but you got yourself pregnant. But if you already got yourself pregnant, then just move on, right? Like, maybe that is a blessing and you will kind of like change your life perspective, etc. But anyway, back to the topic. So that oh, finally comment really got to me, because I didn't really tell our plans to other people at all, because we were a couple that were quite okay having babies, or, you know, having a child or not having a child. So we were quite okay either way. And then we just decided quite recently that I think we are both ready and the circumstances are right for us. So that's why we tried, and poof, that goes Coco Crunch. It was quite quick and we were really, really lucky. I couldn't say any more than that, because we were just quite lucky, really. But yeah, but other people aren't, right? They might try for several years. And if you say that to some people who have been trying for years, it's just very insensitive. Anyway, moving on to another comment that you will most likely receive is that, oh wow, I have a friend who had unexpected pregnancy too. And where in the world did you get that info that my pregnancy was unexpected, you know? So people kind of assume, if you are in the later age in your life, like maybe over 35 mother, that they would assume that it was just kind of like an accident that you got pregnant. But it's not normally the case as well. So you wouldn't really know, right? So you shouldn't really say that comment anyway, even if you are kind of like, that is your assumption. But better not say it, right? It's just weird, which just shows your actual presumptions, right? Showing your actual thinking, which is in a way as well quite honest in a way, but insensitive, I have to say. So yeah, some people really do think that if you're a woman later in life and then you got pregnant, then it's an accident. But again, and for us, it was proper planning, I have to say, which is good on us, but it's not everyone who are like that, right? So you shouldn't really say that to anyone, whichever, you know, journey they are in. So you see where I'm getting at, Zesties? I think people should really not assume someone else's journey, but human as we are, we do, right? But if we do, can we just pause for a moment, think happy thoughts, and just congratulate the goddamn woman? Different people have different journeys, and you might not know how hard or easy it has been for them. I have a friend who told me that he didn't ask anything about children to me way back then because he doesn't know whether I was trying or not. And when I told him that I was expecting, he's very happy for me. And he told me their journey, and it was quite an arduous one for them. So he definitely understands anyone who had a harder time to get pregnant, but was happy that I was quite lucky to have mine quickly. So this one, I like this reaction because it wasn't presumptuous. It wasn't ill-intended, but coming from a genuine concern and happiness. So can't we all be that friend? So if you don't have anything good to say, or if you don't know what to say, just say congratulations and that is enough. Okay, Zesties, moving on to a lighter topic. I wanted to share some of the Filipino superstitions about pregnancy and children. So first, this is a funny one. Don't look at ugly people while pregnant. Of course, there is a notion in the Philippines, and I don't know in your culture, Zesties, comment down below on the Spotify comment section or on our socials whether you have that similar superstitious beliefs as well, that whatever the pregnant woman looks at more or obsessed with, whether the baby will become like that as well. And, you know, I remember when I wasn't pregnant yet, but when I was thinking of getting pregnant, I also thought like, oh, maybe I should look at beautiful people like Cha Eun-woo, you know, that Korean K-drama actor, which is my actor crush, because he's such a beautiful man, really. But yeah, that is one of the superstitious beliefs, but I don't think really that it matters. It's the genes, right? So if, you know, you have, let's say, a Filipino nose, and most likely the kid will have a Filipino nose, you cannot get away with that. And we have to acknowledge that the Filipino nose is like a button nose, right? It's not a long or a tall nose or whatever it is. We just have to accept that that is our nose. But some people find it endearing too. So whatever it is, just maybe if you want to have your kid to be beautiful or whatnot, you just need to remain healthy, I'd say. Or maybe look at the mirror, right? Another superstitious belief about pregnancy is don't take a bath for a week after you give birth. What the? Oh my God, this one is the weirdest of all, I guess. I reckon that the women back in the day were so busy that they couldn't take a bath for a week after they gave birth. I feel that's the story behind this superstition. And especially back in the day when the men were not as active, or the husbands or fathers were not as active participants as they are now in taking care of the baby, right? So at that time, perhaps, and again, this is just my assumption, this is just a theory, that at that time that the women might be so busy, you know, taking care of the newborn child and still taking care of the house and even the husband, that they don't have time to take a bath. And it became, you know, kind of like a superstitious belief now that you shouldn't take a bath when you just delivered the baby. And yeah, so moving on, that's really gross. But anyway, let's move on to another superstitious belief, more on the child. So if a child has two hair wools, he or she will be naughty. Yeah, this one I heard back when I was younger. And it's funny because it's kind of true. I don't know, because I only have one hair whirl, but my sister has two and she's quite a personality. So, but I don't know, Zesties, have you heard this superstitious belief, and do you believe in it? Please comment down below on the comment section box. Then another superstitious belief is if someone tells your baby that they are cute or beautiful, then they will get a fever, or we call it in Cebuano, buyag, where if someone will compliment your baby that they are so cute, etc., then the baby will get fever because of that buyag. And Pinoys believe that babies are more susceptible to illness if a stranger greets them and expresses fondness for them. Even after merely stating that how cute the baby is, the stranger is supposed to wipe saliva on the baby's tummy to prevent fever from developing. But more than the fever, what parents should worry about is the other person's saliva, right? I guess it should have been because you put the saliva into the baby's forehead or tummy, then maybe that's why the baby had the fever, right? But there were superstitious beliefs before that because some, you know, third element or some third party, like spirits, will hear it, and that's why the baby will have a fever, something like that. But I don't know, that's why we always just say, pera buyag, you know, because of that kind of thing. And I don't know whether I should do that here. I don't think so, because I don't think there are like those kind of spirits here anyway in Australia. But maybe if I were in the Philippines, maybe I will. Anyway, the last but not the least is after a baby turns one and gets a haircut, the cut strands should be placed in between pages of a dictionary, because dictionaries tend to be thick, and yes, they do contain a lot of words. The belief is that doing this will help children have thicker hair and wider vocabularies. According to this superstition, hair in book equals intelligence. However, maybe eyes on book will give you better results, right? So there you have it, Zesties, our pilot episode for the newest season. I hope you enjoyed this societal pregnancy-related episode, even though you're not pregnant. Please let me know your feedback on this episode and what makes you excited about this new season that we have. And again, Zesties, thank you so much for sticking around. Thank you for listening, and I hope to see you soon. If you like this show, please support the show by sharing to your friends, sharing to social media, and following us on Instagram and Facebook. And if you'd like to support the show more and you'd like to give me a beverage, then please click on the link down below where you can donate a hot or cold beverage to me, and I would really appreciate it. And thank you so much once again for our patrons, Jem, for always being there, for supporting the show. Thank you so much. And Zesties, I will see you next time. Ta-ta!